CliffCentral.com.
Phoebe, welcome to studio. You're looking lovely.
Red is our favorite color, isn't it?
Red is our favorite color. Why? Because, well, it's our future CEO.
Yeah, of course, it's our branding. You know what we were discussing earlier, that, you know, we always introduce a show. Obviously, we always want to fast track entrepreneurs' careers, but we're also very much into education and giving out free education to all those million South African youths who usually fall through the economic cracks. So we're not only about entrepreneurship, we're about educating our youth.
Yeah, and empowerment. And when we say millions, that's not an exaggeration. It literally is millions and millions every single year that are falling through those cracks and those gaps. Anyway, welcome to Future CEOs. My name is Gareth Armstrong. The lovely Phoebe Mboya Arnold is sitting next to me, and that was her voice. Who do we have sitting in front of us, and shall we get them to introduce themselves?
Should we talk about the topic?
Let's go topic first, and then we'll get them to introduce themselves.
Junk status for who? Junk status for what? How do we as entrepreneurs not only survive but thrive through the tough times? Should we ask them to introduce themselves?
Okay, that was very good. Yes, please. Ross, let's start with you. Please, because as you mentioned off air, you're from Joburg, so we're going to take you very seriously. Our other guests from Durban. Ross, welcome. Please tell everyone who you are and just give us a brief bite of intro into your entrepreneurial journey, please.
Okay, hi. My name is Ross Drakes. I'm the creative director at a company called Nice Work. We do strategic branding and marketing for people who want to sell more and be very, very successful. I'm also the incoming president for the chapter of the Entrepreneurs Organization here in Johannesburg.
Very nice.
Wow.
Which has helped me kind of immensely through building a creative services industry in this economy.
Mm. Well, welcome to studio. You didn't brag too much there. We love bragging. Do you want to just do a little bit of that? We want our listeners to get a sense of who you really are. So you've said something, a nice intro, but just brag a little bit. Clients, those kinds of things. Please.
So we help. We've got kind of two groups of people we help. We help on businesses similar to size of ours to kind of position themselves, to name themselves, to brand themselves.
Wow.
And then we work for all of the, like, I think if you want to survive in South Africa, you work for the corporates. So we work for all the banks, a lot of the telecoms, and quite a few of the government organizations. And generally we get involved on a departmental level and not on a kind of mother brand level. So there's a lot of business units that need help to sell their ideas, to look good, or to get funding, or to get recognition. So we come in and we help them kind of craft that message and to communicate to their peers or to their bosses or to the market at large.
Okay.
To
I think Nice Work and Future CEO might have a collaboration.
There. Well, let's thank you for that. And you do present a very nice angle, which we haven't heard before here in studio. So thank you. Thank you for joining us. Gavin, you're a little bit of a different kettle of fish. Who are you? Tell our audience a little bit about you as well, please.
Okay, my first name's Grant. My surname's Gavin,
pardon.
But I answer to both, so
okay.
That's okay.
Okay, good.
I am from Durban. I left the slops and the baggies at home, and I did try and dress up today. But yeah, I wear a couple of hats. My main business is property. I've got two real estate franchises in the Durban North suburbs, and I'm Schlonga. And we've got 65 agents doing about R1 billion in property sales a year. So that's Remax. And I've got a couple of other property investment companies as well, buying and selling properties and then the holding of commercial properties. And then I founded the Entrepreneurs Club, the Durban Entrepreneurs Club. That's something that I do on the side where we inspire and connect entrepreneurs in Durban. And I'm a public speaker as well. So I speak on sales and entrepreneurship and leadership. But as Ross said, I'm here from the Entrepreneurs Organization Durban chapter.
Wow.
And I fill the role there of the marketing and comms board member.
Well, Mr. Gavin, thank you for joining us.
That's all right.
we appreciate it. Let's jump into our conversation, which is really we've just been presented with a shock, which is the downgrade. We've been downgraded by every major firm out there. Can come with a little bit of panic and come with a little bit of worry. Both of you are sitting across the desk here from us, and you're sitting in positions which are potentially going to be impacted, maybe not initially too much, but perhaps on an ongoing basis quite dramatically. What are your thoughts about this idea of downgrade? Is there fear? Ross, maybe a thought from you?
I think, I mean, we felt it immediately. So we had a whole bunch of projects that had been signed off, and we had the green lights, and our clients just, they didn't pull the plug, but they're like, not right now. So I think the first thing we all need to survive is that shock. Like, it happened, and everyone just stopped. They're like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going any further. I'm just going to see what happens, and then we'll kind of pick it up in the future. So, you know, we really did feel it initially, and I think we haven't even properly felt the knock-on effect of what it's going to do. I think the shock is going to have an effect, and I think the downgrade is going to mean there's going to be less money in the market, which means tighter purse strings for everyone around.
From a property perspective, I mean, this is also a little bit of a – could be a concerning period, because interest rates going up really impacts you very directly.
In fact, we were talking about that off air.
Yep.
And I absolutely agree with what Ross said. It's the consumer sentiment. So when people get nervous and they're uncertain, that's the worst thing that can happen in a market. You'd rather have bad news but certainty. And people are kind of sitting back going, wow, what's going to happen? What are the impacts of this downgrade? And so we didn't quite see it immediately, but we're starting to notice it coming through into the market now, where consumers are literally withdrawing. And that's what they do in uncertain times. They withdraw from the market. And that's a challenge.
Isn't being in the property market a little bit more stable than any ordinary businesses?
Well, we're fortunate that we haven't had the interest rate increases, which, you know, everyone's kind of waiting. And we were talking about this, is that they haven't come because our economy is doing so bad. So there's a kind of bad news and good news effect there. But if our interest rates started to go up significantly, that seriously affects the property market. But as I said, you know, people just put off their buying decisions when they're faced with uncertain markets. So, but as soon as the interest rates start going up, your home loan, your mortgages go up, and now that people are faced to make decisions, hey, I've got to sell my house, I can't afford it anymore, or I can't get a bond because now it's becoming more unaffordable or less affordable to get a bond.
Guys, I think people stop. If they were being a little bit bullish, or if they had a brilliant idea that they were about to pull the trigger on, if it's a house, I'm about to buy a new house, I'm about to upgrade, I think people just hold back. So they don't kill their idea, they just don't execute it right now. And I think there's a lot of people holding on and just trying to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's sort of a holding pattern, as you say.
Ross and Grant, let's just go through like a number of ABCs for entrepreneurs, no matter what size business they have. What tools and what actions can we take just to still be part of the game and still be have an attitude of you still want to make it in our industry? You know what I mean? What can we do as entrepreneurs just to survive for now?
Who you want to go with?
Both of you. Whoever goes first.
Okay, I'm a big believer in attitude and perspective.
Okay. So leadership skills 101.
As an entrepreneur, you're a leader.
Yeah.
If you don't believe you're a leader and you're leading a company, you have a problem. So the first thing that I always go back to is just maintaining perspective. You know, highlighting what are some of the things that I can control and I can't control. And, you know, we cannot as individuals control junk status downgrade, but I can control what happens in my business, and I can control the attitude and the leadership style that I have with my people. Because leaders bring certainty in times of uncertainty. And it's your role as an entrepreneur to lead your organization through this by controlling or focusing on what you can control.
Ross, what would be the things that you would cut back on, as you do in Nice Works? What have you cut back on, and what have you said, there's absolutely no way I'm going to cut back on this? This is too important. Or this is too core to my business.
I think the first thing that always goes is the like all the frills, so the lunches and that kind of stuff. But I think there's a way of keeping on with that. Just you get the buy-in from the team. You go, guys, listen, it's a little bit tighter at the moment, so we need to figure out how to do the same work but for less resource, or do it in a smarter way, or how can we relook what we've been doing and do it in a way that's a little bit more efficient, because so we can keep the company going up and keep it sort of maintaining. And I think there's a very fancy lunch you can buy people, or you can do spaghetti bolognese. And in the end of the day, they feed you just the same. And I think, you know, what Grant was saying, it's the attitude. Like, if you have a positive attitude and you want to survive this and you want to do well, and I think we all do, the way to survive it is not to just keep going like you were. It's thinking like, what, how do we keep moving forward, and what is it that we need to change about how we're doing what we're doing to make us, you know, more profitable or more lean, which allows us to sort of keep going as a company, because I don't think the approach of just let's just stop spending on everything is not a solution to surviving long term. It might help for a month or two or three,
sure,
but eventually if you stop marketing, you stop communicating, you stop training, new projects,
then you stop your business.
Yeah. Then in 6 months' time, suddenly you know where, and the market's either picking up again or plateauing, and suddenly you've done nothing. You've just been waiting for something to happen.
What I like about attitude as an answer and as a focus area is that you can absolutely influence it. And let's go a little bit practical in your own businesses. How would you do that? So talk to our future CEOs community. How would you go about making sure that the attitude as a whole in the business and across each individual in your business is still on track? There's a communication element, of course. What would you guys do?
Yeah, so I always take the view that I'm an actor. I'm on stage as a leader,
okay,
and I'm playing a role.
Mm.
So I know that, you know, when you come into the office on a Monday morning and all this social media and negative news has been out there about possible downgrades, I know when I walk in the office what the mindset of my people is going to be. So I'll get into a room or have a meeting, and I make sure the very first thing I do is I address attitude and mindset. And I'll ask open-ended questions. I'll say, right, guys, what is the single thing that you are most concerned about right now? And I'll go around the room and I'll get them to give their little answers. And everyone will be Jacob Zuma, downgrade, credit ratings, this and that. And then I'll ask a second question, right, so the thing that you mentioned, you know, can you control it or can't you control, or do you have no control over it? So it just immediately shifts the perspective. And then we'll go and talk, right, so now how are we going to address this? What are we going to focus on this week? And what are we going to do in terms of stretching our marketing reach into the marketplace when everyone else is pulling back?
Ross, I see you nodding. This is something that you guys have actively done.
Yeah, so every Friday we have a meeting with the team. We get together, and one portion of that meeting is a thing we call good bad.
Mm.
So essentially everyone writes down anything that's happening good in the company, in their work, in their projects, in their personal life, and anything bad. And we throw those up on a board, and then we kind of group them by category or by theme, and then the team votes on what we discuss. And as a team, we discuss if it's a good thing, we just talk about how it went well or how we can do more of that. You know, how can we extract that as a learning for the company and keep repeating that? Or if it was bad, it's like, is there anything we can do about it? Do we just want to give each other a hug and go for a drink?
Mm.
Like, you know, there's so many different things you can solve. And I think including the team in these conversations is very important, because I think everyone wants to understand that their company is going to survive. Like, it's not great out there. It's not going to be great for a while. But if you all get together and you all work hard and you all kind of keep moving forward, we will survive.
You know what is entrepreneurs? We always try and look for the silver lining. So what happens at these entrepreneurship organizations that you guys both have in Johannesburg and in Durban? What is the sentiment? What's the energy like when you are in this space?
Well, you're sitting in a room with like-minded entrepreneurs. So we know in the entrepreneurs organization, everyone who's in the organization has a business that is above a certain income level.
Okay.
So you're sitting with entrepreneurs who are very, very successful. But what's most important is now you're networking with them and you're idea sharing. So it's a case of having a conversation of, hey, this is what I'm doing in my business. This is how I'm overcoming this. And these are the successes that I'm having. And then I'm going to take them back to my business and implement them.
That's great.
So the idea sharing and that peer-to-peer mentoring is very, very strong in times like these.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we
That's
have
awesome.
A principle in EO called Gestalt, which is it's never advice.
Mm.
It's always you talk from your experience. And I sit in my forum with 9 other businesses, and we wouldn't have survived, or our business wouldn't be where it is today without hearing, you guys, I'm having a problem with, you know, getting access to finance. And then 3 or 4 stories are shared of how people got there, you know, how they got finance and how they tackled this problem. And that kind of conversation opens your mind up to areas that you never would have, you would have thought. And I think it's such a valuable, I think those conversations that entrepreneurs can have with each other is a way to survive in a time like these, because you're going to have to be lean and you're going to have to be smart.
Now, I was at the African Sustainability Summit this morning on a panel with John Flismas, the comedian, social commentator, fantastic guy. His last show was a good racist. You know, so there's some real controversy there. But what he says is he loves destructive forces because destructive forces precede growth, innovation, adaptation, all of these kinds of things. And really what we are experiencing at the moment is some destructive forces.
Definitely.
And, I mean, it's destructive in sometimes not so nice ways. Destruction of wealth is never great. But there really is wealth creation opportunities there. Let's go back to you guys. So that was number one. We spoke about attitude. Number two, Grant, tell us what you would then do in your business or you are doing in your business at this particular point in time.
I think you got to also sit back and observe and see what's happening out in the marketplace. And, you know, when you start noticing what other people are doing, you start to see opportunities. And we spoke earlier, what don't you cut back on? Most people cut back on marketing and training. Which is crazy if you think about
it. It is crazy.
You know, training is something you need right now to keep your people motivated and to sharpen pencils and sharpen skills. So I always look at opportunities where others are removing themselves from marketing environments.
I like that.
And it happened in 2008, 2009, where we noticed a lot of our competitors removing themselves from the market, really cutting back from marketing. So we stepped up. You know, rather
like
cut
that.
Everything. As Ross says, cut the lunches. Cut, you know, success is a poor teacher. So when we go through times of success, we start adding on expenses here and we don't watch our expenses. So it's always a good time to cut the non-lead generating expenses out of your business, but don't cut marketing and don't cut training. Because if your competitors
are... I think you should make your brand even stronger in this time so your marketing is not an option.
You're suddenly stepping into a space where others have disappeared. And it's worked for us in the past, so it's what we're doing right now. We're looking at opportunities as to where we can step forward with more sort of creative marketing opportunities. And people might be at home going, yeah, but marketing costs money. It doesn't. You can be very creative with marketing when you don't spend money and you can still be impactful.
No, so you should spend lots of money with your marketing company. All of you.
And it's good that you say that, Ross, because the question is, in your particular case, Grant, it is a B2C kind of business, really, is it not?
Yes, absolutely.
And then in your case, Ross, it's more business to business.
Definitely.
So how is there a change here? There must be a change in strategy or approach. Or what's the nuance or the nuanced difference between the two businesses, please?
I think, I mean, for us, it's our opportunity right now is everyone out there is still operating with their own legacy thinking. So they are doing it the way they've always done it. They've been spending money on websites. They've been designing in certain ways. They've been shooting expensive videos. They're doing all of the same stuff they've been doing for a while. And now the companies that are going to survive are going to be, how can we do that same stuff but much cheaper or, you know, in a faster way? I think there's lots of Facebook Live opportunities now for people to, you know, put messages out very fast, very, you know, kind of simple. I think from a production standpoint, the glossy brochure is potentially not, you don't need that, but you still need that message to be able to kind of get out there. So I think our company will survive because we can look at the budgets that our clients now have, and it's not about don't spend any money. If you've only got 50,000 rand, come to us and say, we have 50,000 rand. And then it's our job to create the biggest impact with 50,000 rand, as opposed to in the old days, the same money would have been 150 or 200 or 300,000 rand. So it's how do you work really smart and achieve the goals that the client needs to achieve, but without burning cash like we did in the kind of the rich old days.
I know. Rich old days make us sound so old. That's going back in time. Being a guru of leadership, give us some leadership tools that I, as a business owner, can take in these tough times.
I think leadership begins with who you are. You know, you always say the type of leader you are is determined by who you are as a person, and people will follow you based on that. So, you know, I always say don't ever stop working on yourself. You know, sometimes we take up leadership positions, whether we're CEOs of organizations or entrepreneurs leading small teams, and we're good at what we do. We're good at the task-orientated stuff because we know our industry so well, but we forget that we're also human beings and we have to keep growing and developing. And Robert Kiyosaki always said that you know when you become an entrepreneur, you have to be far more aggressive in learning than you were as an employee because you've got to be on top of your game all the time.
And he's coming to town. He's coming to town.
Yeah, he comes quite often.
Does he?
Yeah.
Are you going to go see him? As usual, are you a big fan?
I actually went and saw him a couple of years ago, and I was quite surprised. I mean, one of the first books I read was his Rich Dad Poor Dad. That got me into property.
Correct.
And so I was so excited to go and see him when he came to Durban a while back. And he was quite negative in his look, his sort of view of what was coming. He was almost like this prophet of doom and gloom at the second wave of, you know, global recession. And I mean, he's a very smart man. I'm not saying what he was saying was not correct, but I went there to be inspired, and I actually left there going, wow, what's coming?
Talk about other books that you would give future CEOs to read.
Yeah, I'm reading one at the moment called The Soul of Leadership, Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra, brilliant book.
Yes.
Brilliant book.
Okay.
Just talking about how the time is coming now where we need leaders to stand up. And I think if you look at our country right now, we are lacking leadership across all levels. And it's almost waiting for someone to stand up and lead us out of this mess.
Women-led. I say women-led revolution. Lead us.
No, the women in entrepreneurship movement is getting very, very strong now.
Correct.
And women in leadership as well.
Ross, can I go? May I go? Ross, I want us to let's pull back just to the conversation, which is the surviving and down in a downturn. There's three areas that we've highlighted, and let's quickly talk about each of them. We've got a few minutes left. There's this idea of adaptation around products and services, around business processes, and then also this idea of always seeking out new opportunities. How does the across those three areas, how does that change in this kind of environment as opposed to the rich old days, as you referred to earlier? What would you do to address these three different areas?
I think it's about encouraging your team and your staff to be more do-it-yourself. So where you would employ a cameraman and you would get a sound guy, can you do
That's the same thing
with your own? Can you buy a camera for 10,000 Rand?
Can you use your Android to do everything?
Yeah, you can shoot it on a cell phone.
Absolutely.
You can write it yourself. You can buy stock. Like, there's so many ways to be lean in your approach to creating things, you know. So instead of sitting back and being like, oh, we can't do a website anymore. There's things like Squarespace. You can go and build a site for like $20 and then it costs you $3 a month. You know, so you can build a site in 5 minutes and be online selling your stuff. You can make your own video with your cell phone and edit it together and be out there sharing your message. You can record a podcast using your cell phone, cut it together with a $3 app and be spreading your kind of message out there. So I think there's a lot of ways that you'll survive, but I think it's, you know, Grant, you were talking about consistently learning. So you have to learn. You're going to have to push yourself into areas that you might have handed off onto someone else. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I'll do the PR writing. Maybe I'll, maybe I'll do the web copy or take my own photos to kind of still get out there and still push yourself out there, but without spending the money that you would used to have to spend.
And you know what? That's great when it comes to the entrepreneur, because we always find opportunities in doom and gloom, you know, and especially when we're out of our comfort zones. Obviously, we all know that's where real growth happens. So it's an if you have the right mindset, it's actually a very exciting time.
Some people are not going to catch on. They're not going to catch on, and they're going to be standing there waiting for it to all be a natural opportunity to just run right past.
Also, I think everyone's so used to being given stuff. There's such an attitude of entitlement. And, you know, if you want any bit of information, it's out there. It's on Google. You know, you can go and find anything, any information on any part of your business, it's there. You can go and do marketing. You're going to kill me. You can go and do marketing pieces. Like, I'm getting great quality marketing pieces for $5 on Fiverr.com. You know, so these things are all out there, but you just got to open your eyes and go and look for them.
You know, what I really appreciate about the idea of stepping back into your business, so often we talk, people tell us about work on your business, not in your business, but what's so good about stepping into your business is the opportunity to see your business with new eyes. As you were saying, Ross, sometimes you palm things off or you delegate, appropriately so, because you need to do that, you need to free up your time. But often as business leaders, as business owners, we disconnect, we get disconnected from what our business actually is and what our business actually provides and can provide. And that's where I think we are going to find value, what we can provide.
Yeah,
what's the next step?
I mean, you talk about working on your business. I never figured out what that was. Mm. You know, we've been going for 11 years now, and I never knew. People always said it, and I said it to other people because you sound really smart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm working, working on my business.
Yeah.
I think if you want to work on your business, it's about teaching and empowering the people around you to do what you do. So if you can only, if you do it 100% and they can only do it 60%, 10 of them are doing more than you can at 100%. So if you can empower them and kind of share that responsibility and share the opportunity with them to grow in these times, I think it'll make your business be able to survive. So it's not one person pulling, it's 10 people pulling, or 15 people pulling, or 50 people pulling, which is how your business will kind of, you know, it'll make it through these times, or even worse times if there are worse times ahead.
No, good point. A final word from both of you, because we actually have run out of time.
It's gone quickly.
That's how quick time does go in the Future CEO studio here. Libby, I don't know if you have another question to ask before. You're shaking your head. A final word from both of you, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think at times like these, the natural inclination is for an entrepreneur to go into defense mode, to go into survival mode. And unfortunately, when you put yourself in that space, others are going to be in growth mode or in thrive mode, and they're going to overtake you. So just be aware of that temptation to put your head into the operational side of your business, where you're scrounging to get money from debtors, make sales happen. And always bear in mind that if the ship misses the harbor, it's really the harbor's fault. And it really comes down to the leader.
Ross?
I mean, interesting for me, we had our entrepreneurs organization year in function last night. And there was a man called James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy. He did 50 Ironmans in 50 states in 50 days.
Wow.
And there was one thought last night that he said. He said, 10% of your experience is the environment and the situation that you're in, and 90% is how you choose to deal with it. So I think we are in this situation, we're in this country, it's bad now, it's probably going to keep getting worse, but if you put 90% of that in a positive direction, it'll outweigh that 10% in a heartbeat.
Libby, what do you think?
Act, adapt, and innovate.
An appropriate way to end this conversation. Gentlemen, thank you for being part of the conversation. Thank you for coming in. That's the voices of Grant Gavin. You're the owner of Remax Panache, if I'm getting that right, down in Durban. Perfect. And then also Ross Drakes, creative director at Nicework, but then also incoming president for our entrepreneur organization here in South Africa. Thank you for being here, and thank you for listening. We'll be back with you same time, same place, next week, Thursday, 1 until 2. See you then. CliffCentral.com.